Well, that's our new theme music for Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, Joe Cocker, with a track called Respect Yourself. And, yeah, I'm really getting to like that little bit of bluesy music at the start of Take It From Us. Well, I'm Sheldon Brown, and Mental Health Radio Take It From Us is funded by Framework. And our goals are to promote hope, wellness, both getting well and staying well, and sustained recovery. So today we talk to Gary Ray, a team leader of a mental health organisation that unashamedly promotes all those goals. And I'll just repeat them again. Hope. Wellness, both getting well and staying well. And that's a challenge, isn't it? We can get well, but staying well is often and something that takes a lot of discipline and effort and sustained recovery. So the organisation that Gary works for is RI International. It has a focus on recovery education opportunities. So here's Gary to talk about that focus. But let's ask about his personal journey, which has led him to head up an American-based organisation in the heart of Manukau. And I think, Gary, when that American organisation started to pitch for contracts in New Zealand, that threw a bit of a frightener through some of the existing NGOs that not only were they competing amongst themselves, all Kiwis together, but then there was the introduction of what was called Recovery Innovations, I think. Yeah.
Good afternoon, listeners. Yes, indeed. Quite a while ago, in actual fact, the CMDHB, the County's Manukau Health, went overseas to actually look for a wellness model, something they could bring back and utilise for the mental health and drug addiction services here in South Auckland. So they were leading the way in searching for the fence at the top of the hill instead of the ambulance at the bottom. And from that day on, it's just been nothing but amazing happenings in the way of mental health and addiction services. It's brilliant.
So give us a little bit of a history of that, because I do recall when it was called Recovery Innovations, and nobody seemed to know too much about them. But as you say, Counties Manukau District Health Board went offshore, and I think a Framework was involved with a program, a consumer-driven organisation, the setting up of a consumer-driven organisation. And some of that was also influenced by an American organisation. I don't think it was Recovery Innovations, but yeah.
So META was the organisation way back when the CMDHB sent a team over to look at the recovery models, and they brought back then Recovery Innovations back to New Zealand to train up their teams, but also in connecting to a office or a wellness centre where people can come and work on their wellness and work on their addiction education. And that's where initially the training started. To use the RAP, the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and each and every one of us that connect to RI International, formerly known as Recovery Innovations, that's a great starting point.
The RAP, the Wellness Recovery Action Planning, though, was already here in New Zealand, I think, wasn't it? Or was it brought here by RI International or Recovery Innovations?
That's right. Yep. Once the DHB team were trained and brought back, of course, they had some other training in likes of peer employment training, where individuals get the knowledge to work in this industry.
Right.
And what that does create in the peer employment training is a niche market for our own lived experience culture to grow and learn more.
So is that where New Zealand developed this growth industry of peer peer counselling and peer well, not so much peer employment, but peer counselling, peer-to-peer, because Counties Manukau is very strong on it, isn't it? They've got a staff of, I believe, somewhere between 30 or 40 or maybe more.
They have indeed, and that's, from what I understand, that's about to grow once they open up their new Te Aho Mai unit sometime in 2018. And from what I understand, they may have near on 10 peer individuals on staff there. So that culture and that industry is growing every single day.
Right. So, T.O., my, we take it from us, would very much like to bring some detail about the new T.O. Mai, because it's a whole new building. I think there's going to be greater spaces in this acute unit. So, I've been talking to the peer leader, I guess, at Counties to see whether Take It From Us can get somebody to interview. But you're saying that within this acute psychiatric unit, Gary, there could be 10 peer, what do we call them, peer counsellors?
Peer support specialist is our certification.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing title. And the reason being it's exciting is because a lot of the organisations out there, NGOs that employ teams to connect to mental health and addictions, part of their certification is the peer employment training. And, of course, what comes with the peer employment training is lived experience.
Right, so that's the big distinction, isn't it, between community support workers and peer support specialists, is that community support workers don't always have lived experience of mental health. And it does surprise me that there's a large group of community support workers who are operating with people with lived experience, and they don't necessarily have the same, they don't have maybe, well, they have an empathy, I'm sure, but they don't have that lived experience. They don't have the experience of perhaps spending time in acute psychiatric unit or in respite or living daily with a mental health which can be pretty dark at times.
It can be dark indeed. And I would say on average in the amount of years that I've been part of this wonderful culture and leading the team here in New Zealand is that when I get often a chance to talk to people, they either have one or the other, mental health or addiction. But again, there are like myself, I have not only mental health at the age of 17 and diagnosed at 19, but I came with, unfortunately, co-occurring addiction. Which crept up on me, and it was quite debilitating. But the people I generally talk to that doesn't have one or the other, at some stage in life, there has been something tragically happened. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, it's still trauma.
Well, I've had the privilege of being the speaker at your peer employment training graduations, and I guess I've had my eyes opened at the trauma that so many of the people who come to RI International, the trauma of both addiction and mental health, and they're really looking for a new direction in their lives, and that peer employment training is, I think, it does provide a new direction.
It does indeed, and I come from lived experience of that. When I did my wellness recovery action plan, it allowed me to put things in place like tools that were unique to me. But I can't forget, you know, the support of a lovely wife and a very caring person that supported me. In the past years, I've always hidden my psychiatric diagnosis for fear of being judged or, you know, not getting that job and so on. But what Recovery Innovations helped me to do was actually stand up and be counted as a human being with lived experience that has meaning and purpose in life. And when I did my peer employment training, that was hugely evident. Three quarters of the way through my peer employment training, I had this amazing epiphany, and it hit me like a shock that everything that happened in my life, all the darkness, the bad stuff, the really hard stuff, oh, and the good, all went to make me who I am right here today. And that just, all the baggage just fell away. It's amazing.
So I've got to just clarify here. So you were introduced to RI International as a client.
Correct.
So you somehow heard about them. You did a wellness recovery action plan, which you say is designed specifically and personally for you and your recovery. And then you went on and did a peer employment training. When did you reap the benefits of all that and become an employee of Recovery International?
Well, that had a really, really interesting turn of events. Obviously, my journey started out with my doctor, which sent me to CADS, which is a drug and alcohol kind of rehabilitation facility. Then CADS sent me to Recovery Innovations, as it was known back then. While doing my rap in the rap class, this gentleman that sat across the table, which was called a facilitator, really inspired me with him sharing his journey and where he'd come from and allowed me to look at tools that were just so right for me. Obviously, my toolbox doesn't work for everybody else because we're all totally different and quite unique. I was encouraged to go on to do PT because I wanted to do what that facilitator was doing.
So that's your peer employment training.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So once in PET, I realized that I have the experience that I can connect to other people. And what that does is create or take part in an amazing recovery culture here in New Zealand. And I felt as though I belonged. I belonged to something that was intrinsically me but connected to so many other beautiful people in their wellness. And the team leader, as it was back then in Recovery Innovations, he came across to me and says, you know, I'd like you to, once you finish your PET, I'd like you to come over and have an interview. And I was thinking to myself, if he knew all the stuff I'd done in my life, that I'd never get to the second stage. And funny enough, he shared with me that the reason he came across was because of my history. And obviously in the past, certain jobs haven't been gotten because of that, you know, jail experience for whatever reason. But because RI were looking at the corrections system, part of going in there and sitting with people that are on probation or looking at prison sentences was a person that they needed to come from lived experience. And that to me was that's what I wanted to do.
In that case, that was lived experience of being inside.
Correct.
So
absolutely.
So you brought lived experience of being inside as well as lived experience of addiction and mental health.
Correct.
Just while you mentioned addiction and mental health, have you got any insights as to what came first? I mean, did your mental health sort of erupt, if you like, or manifest itself and then was got worse because of your addiction or what was the connection?
Well, for quite a number of years, my mental health got in the way of many, many things, and it got in the way of life. Being a medicated adult most of my life, it got in the way of my relationships. Being a young fella and contemplating dating was not a welcome thing because of you have to hide. I'm a medicated adult,
Doesn't get you to the second date if you admit that on the first.
Unfortunately, no. And sadly, I hid that in my relationships for many, many years. And why I connected to my lovely wife this morning, and thank you, Karat, for being me there and supporting me, I came clean with my lovely wife, and she basically said, is that all?
Oh, wow.
Of course.
That was a pleasant surprise.
Absolutely. I was just quite amazed. But it was the recovery culture that allowed me to come out of the closet.
So that's one of the great luxuries of working in mental health, isn't it?
That is.
That we hope that the people we're working with and working for and that sort of thing will understand that there won't be any of that stigma and discrimination or judgment. I mean, it doesn't always happen, unfortunately, in mental health, but it sounds as though you've got a culture at RI International where there is an empathy towards it, and probably all of the people you're working with, I'm not talking clients, but your staff, are people who have lived experience of either mental health or addictions.
Each and every one of our team come from lived experience. That's the beautiful way of being peer. We're a peer-led service, which means not one of our team actually don't or can't connect to mental health or addictions.
Right.
And it's been said as, and we call people that come to our service guests. It's my job to serve my fellow team members as well as the guests that come through our doors. And they've likened it actually coming in our doors and feeling the love. That's an incredible feeling.
Well, that's a wonderful term, guests. I really like that because the mental health industry can't decide what to call people with lived experience. And I raised this at a meeting with Jonathan Coleman one time. It was during Mental Health Awareness Week. And I said, in listening to you, Minister, I have heard five different descriptions of four people with lived experience. Tangata whaiora, consumers, service users, clients. I said, we don't do that with psychiatrists. We don't have five different, we may have a few different ones like shrink and whatever. But and he thought it was quite acceptable. But somebody else actually in the meeting who was sort of chairing the meeting, it was Max Abbott, in fact. He said, well, we've got a committee that is looking at this very fact and we share, you know, that concern. Let's take a music break after that little tirade from the host. What have you got for us today, Declan?
Well, I was just going to say, actually, firstly, just touching on that with all the different names, it's amazing how many people you'll meet who say, oh, I'm bipolar. And I go, no, you have bipolar, but you're not actually bipolar as the condition. Well, I've got an interesting lineup today because whilst the music goes out to everybody, I want to put a special dedication out there. And it's to a friend of mine that I met in Cairns in 2000. And once in a while, you make and meet that uniquely different friendship where you really connect and understand each other and become best friends. The last time I saw Brenton was when in 2003, and then he moved to Adelaide. And he's having his 60th birthday next June, and I've said that I aim to be there. We had more laughs in 3 months than we had than I can remember. He's currently going through a very deep depressive period to the point where he doesn't want to talk on the phone. He just wants to text and email, so I'm just giving him that space to do what he needs to do. He's also, because of being in Cairns, he's had a lot of cancers taken out of his face and that also impacts quite a bit. So the song I got today, I actually found by fluke, actually. it's one that goes back to Simon and Garfunkel, who did it back, I think, in about 74. And this particular version has got Russell Watson also at the helm. So it's a spruced-up version. It's Bridge Over Troubled Water. And you're with 104.6 Planet FM.
Well, very moving Bridge Over Troubled Waters something of a recognition of Declan's friend in Adelaide who is going through some tough times. We're talking to Gary Ray, the team leader of a mental health organisation called RI International. It was formerly known as Recovery Innovations. If we've confused our listeners, well, there's probably a reason for that. The two names are pretty similar. But, Gary, you've had, some troubled waters. And I did ask you earlier about the sort of link between mental health and addictions. You know, it's something that I've always wondered about is what comes first. It's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, but I guess where we have that sort of dual diagnosis, it's tough going.
It is tough, and it is a question of which comes first, chicken or the egg. But in my case, unfortunately, mental health was the foundation for that furthered the rest of my, bridge-burning experiences throughout my life. Unfortunately, often when that happens, we can have a co-occurring addiction, which means mental health comes with its own addiction processes.
Oh, so you feel that the mental health could be part of an addictive personality? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that sometimes with mental health, co-occurring addiction is quite prevalent. But obviously, you know, it's not always the case. In my case, I'd spent up many of my life with a father that drank alcohol on a huge, copious amount. And I lived with that and was put off alcohol for many, many years. And it wasn't until a previous wife and I had a parenting plan or a parenting group to get educated on how to come together and work with our children. And one of the wonderful kind of snippets that we're told were, you know, if you and your wife want to talk together or you and your husband want to talk together, go have a glass of wine. Kick the kids out of the lounge and just have a glass of wine and chat and talk. And unfortunately, that led to a glass of wine a night, two nights, three nights, until it became a bottle a night. And that's how something that can creep up on you.
So she didn't really pay you a favour, did she? And I find that little bit of advice quite staggering in that I've always been led to believe that you need to be sober if you're going to have, sensible and serious discussions with your partner. But alcohol isn't exactly the way to create a sensible conversation.
Unfortunately, when the alcohol doesn't stop, you get more than relaxed. It can create absolute problems, and I do understand that may not have been the crux of it, but and that's why I connect to peer support, being peer with people. You know, we connect to not using those extremities of alcohol to be able to come outside our shell. That's why it's so important to actually look at addiction as an addiction.
So, for those people with a vulnerability to mental health, alcohol is never going to be a wellness tool, is it?
No, unfortunately not. And the other side of the addiction process, which I guess it came after my mental health, there's no matter where you go, you can't get away from it. I spent almost a year finding an alternative place to drive past the dairy that doesn't have a bottle store, or leaving my shopping up to Karat, my wife, because they plant the bottle shop right in the dead smack in the front of the supermarket. So a lot of things aren't changing out there. It's still hitting us pretty hard where it's in our face every single day. Go to the dairy, they've got Heineken, Steinlager, right up in the back of the shelf, right next door to the cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think alcohol or other drugs certainly aren't at all, they're very damaging for mental health. And I guess there's always the temptation that when we're feeling dark, that maybe a few drinks is going to relieve the darkness. But I always found that the next morning the darkness was back and double the quota of it. So anyway, we're wanting to talk very much about hope and wellness and sustained recovery. I guess these are messages that are important. Tell us a little bit about the program at RI International that has this focus on wellness.
Well, you're talking about the my personal wellness plan.
Well, I'd be very interested to hear what's in your wellness toolbox. I think that would be very helpful.
So my wellness toolbox, I have tools that keep me safe every single day. And I have a wrap for work. I have a wrap for home. And obviously I have a wrap for my own wellness. And when I fortunately, I won't be going back there. So it's quite important that toolbox is geared up to serve me every single day. Part of that is recognizing the triggers that I may go through, a bit of pressure at work or a bit of pressure at home. I realize that that's starting to affect me, and I can utilize my tools or daily maintenance to get move away from that.
So what are some of those things that you do every day that sort of, well, not necessarily guarantee, but secure your wellness?
For me, it's self-care. Self-care is a really huge thing, because part of my wellness is that, I love and care about myself, and I love and care about my family that are really closely connected to me. And making sure that they're well and provided for is a huge part of my wellness. And, of course, I feel a million bucks when I connect to that. My son Liam, he's a guiding light in my life, and is a huge tool that keeps me on the straight and narrow.
So you've got a lot of incentives there to stay well and remain, the Gary Ray that's effective and contributing.
And that's part of being the example, or I am the evidence that wellness is totally possible. I have on my card ITE. I don't have a degree. I don't have a PhD. But ITE, I am the evidence.
I am the evidence.
Yep.
Really?
And that's my credentials all through my life. Right. I've spent 55 years getting those credentials.
Brilliant.
And being that example to not only my fellow team members, but the guests that come through my door or RI International's door is a huge, huge standing. And obviously, if I'm doing it, anybody else can.
So this gives you a great deal of credibility that you can say that you've been there, you know about addiction, you know about mental health vulnerability, and here you are, team leader of a US-based recovery RI International.
Very much so. Yeah, and I'm in a really, really great space to see people grow, not only in our team, but the people that come through our doors, they go to our classes, they connect to us every single day, and they can connect to us half hour before, half hour after to talk about anything that they need to connect to. Mm-hmm. We're not counsellors. We're not marriage guidance counsellors or psych doctors, but we're peers, and we can talk on the most basic of level. It's incredible.
It's sometimes a bit of a fine line when I'm doing the wellness recovery facilitation. There's a fine line, I think, between being a facilitator and being a peer and sharing your experiences, and to some extent moving into that realm of being a counsellor. Do you feel that at any stage?
I used to, can be met with trepidation. But what we do connect to people about is we often know where the services are that they can get help. We often know the phone numbers that they could possibly utilize. And it's they're driving it. They're driving the car. They're moving in their own direction. So we're not actually doing it for them. We're providing the information. We know of the services out there, so they can actually Yeah, take ownership and do it themselves.
Right. So, you know, that raises the whole issue of people who try and control others with mental health vulnerabilities. And I think control is one of the most unhelpful tools towards recovery. And it sounds as though you're giving these people the independence to make their own choices and get on the journey.
And I like the fact that you brought in the choice process. We had a wonderful guest come to our services that unfortunately was looking at self-harming. With her permission, we connected her to the service that she wanted to take part in, and we ended up calling the police service in. In a short time after, they sent along two constables, two male constables. As soon as they came into my office, they turned a pair. They were supporting the guest. They were validating her strengths. And you could just see the beaming smile on her face. It was incredible to see these two men have this add-on to their normal duties. And I must say, congratulations to the two constables. You know who you are. That was great service to a wonderful guest that was in a fragile state.
So what was the outcome there? They took her to the service that she wanted to tap into?
Funny enough, because of a RAP program, she has a care plan. And the constables acknowledged her care plan and actually, connected to a to compliment the fact that she had all this written down and knew where she wanted to go. So this one of the constables went down, brought the car up to the back of the mall, and the constable actually took the guest away to where she wanted to go.
Wow.
But not having to go through the mall with a uniformed police officer.
Right, right.
So that was just total care on that person.
That's a lovely story. Well, let's take another music break. Declan, you're acknowledging your friend in Adelaide who's in some having some black moments.
I am, and he's a painter inside and outside. So if anyone wants good painting and you're listening in Australia, just a couple of little things I wanted to put in, a couple of little quotes I think which are quite nice. One of my friends, another friend who was going through some anxiety through multiple, he was having multiple anxiety attacks, and he was commenting about how, he doesn't feel normal anymore. And I said, well, having gone through things myself, you just need to shift. Your normal is now a new normal. It's, not quite the same. But anyway, once again, dedicating this to Brenton, who's in Adelaide, and this always reminds him of his late dad, and it's a song from Genesis, and it's called Hold On My Heart.
Hold on my heart, just hold on.
No, our bees aren't working today. No stingers.
Well, no stingers today. Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us. I'm Sheldon Brown, and we're talking to Gary Ray, team leader of mental health organisation RI International. Gary, what sort of demand are you getting for this focus on wellness and hope and recovery?
Well, we serve guests on a regular basis every single day, Monday through to Thursday. Of course, Fridays we service Te Aho Mai, which is Middlemore Hospital, in their secure wing.
Oh, what, on a Friday?
On a Friday, yeah. We do it 5 days a week, but our team don't do classes on a Friday, so we just service Te Aho Mai on a Friday. The amount of guests we're servicing every single day is quite huge. And if I can use Seattle, US, as an example, the amount of guests they serve in Seattle, in one suburb in Seattle, we put through in a month. And we have such a small team here in Manukau that it's an amazing achievement.
What was the figure in Seattle? Sorry, that's for a year.
There are about 5,000 individuals in a population of over, I think, 5 million. And Manukau holds a very, very small number, like 575,300 and something individuals in Manukau alone. Mm. And we would serve the same amount of guests coming through our doors. It's incredible what the numbers we do for the wonderful people that come through our doors and the small amount of team we have.
So you're getting a reputation of a place where there's hope, there are choices, there are programs that are helpful. I mean, are you seeing a big increase in the guests that are seeking help?
We see quite a big degree of increase in guests through our doors. Of course, being peer, it often happens as a word of mouth. GP services are sending their guests, or as they call them, patients, I think, guests to our services. CADs are sending guests to our services, and a lot more organisations are connecting to that, hence the jump in numbers. But it's the employment process that can be at the end of it. We don't guarantee jobs. It's generally up to the individual and how they work with interviews and so on. But we create the learning environment to move on to possible employment.
Yeah, so that's employment in being a peer support specialist. I mean, one of the things that strikes me, and I've got somebody in a wellness recovery class that I'm facilitating at the moment, and he's very keen to get into peer support, but he lives on the North Shore, and so your peer employment training is not available to him because I think yours is pretty much exclusively South Auckland. Are you aware of other peer support opportunities? I mean, I know Mind and Body has a fairly expensive peer support specialist training, which I think costs a considerable amount of money. What other options are there?
There are other organisations out there that connect to PET outside of our organisation or outside of Counties Manukau. I think they're in the planning stage at this stage. I just can't mention any particular names, but stay tuned.
Right.
It will be available out west, North Shore Rodney.
Excellent. Oh, well, it sounds as though it might be your own organisation that's considering doing that, but I'm only guessing. Yeah, well, so the main focus in terms of wellness and recovery is the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, the peer employment training. Have you got others that you're working on at RI International?
So we have, at the moment, RAP goes from 10 a.m. in the morning right up to 12 midday. In the afternoon, we have my personal wellness plan, which looks at nine dimensions of wellness. And it can range from sexuality to money to work-life balance. And when I did it, I actually found out I was working way too much and not enough home. So I had to actually bring one down in par with the other.
So this was about balance in Gary's life?
Hugely so, hugely. And me, you're learning every single day. It's incredible. So my personal wellness plan is in the afternoons from Monday through to Thursday. Yeah.
And what is the focus of that?
Now, the focus of that is each class looks at, you know, looking at goals, what you need in that particular subject. Perhaps if you're looking at work or leisure, it allows you to identify certain leisure that you need, perhaps want to do more of. And, of course, it then works into the formula of how to go and get it. Who do you need to contact? Who do you need to connect to? And, of course, agencies like clubs and so on. So it's quite an important formula in there that actually comes to work out where you need more or less of.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things in mental health recovery surely is to identify the thing that you're going to be passionate about. And, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, I somehow cottoned on to creativity. And jewellery and working with wire and working with beads. And, I mean, I had no idea that I had any creative bent at all. And that passion became a passion, so that when I came back to Auckland and I registered with Frameworks Bone Carving School, you know, I developed that expertise and started to make carvings and incorporate the silver wire and the beads, the colour with the bone. And I mean, this was my saviour.
That sounds amazing. My gosh. And our programs or our classes allow that to happen, where you actually think about what your strengths are. What are you good at? And that's a great basis to start. It starts that thinking ball rolling, if you will.
And if people really are passionate about peer support, well, what would your advice be to them?
We have two choices. You can connect to Connect, or you can connect to RI International. Please give us a call. Can I mention the number?
Yeah, cool. Of course you can.
Give us a call on 263-6035. That's 263-6035 at RI International.
And you've got a website which outlines all of the courses that are running at the moment. That is...
Now it's www.riinternationalonword.com. And, of course, you'll follow the link to New Zealand, and there we are.
Yeah, well, I did go on that site, and, yes, there's quite a bit of American content on there as well. So you've just got to make sure that you're looking at the programs that are based in South Auckland. You're in the Manukau Mall, aren't you, right at Manukau City there? I mean, you can't be in a better position to service people.
We used to say right at the end of the bus stop, and the buses still come, so get off the station, come up to the mall. We're on level 3. We've just changed from 4 to 3. So right in the food court where I'm allowed to say Burger King. Right at Burger King on the right-hand side, so let's come on up to 4. We have tea, coffee, Milo.
Now, is it 3 or 4?
It was 4. It's the 3. That's very right. Much so. So come on up for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Sometimes it's not always about the cup of tea.
No, exactly. Well, let's take another music break. Declan, you're acknowledging your friend in Adelaide with the choice of music. What have you got for us this time?
Well, I do. Well, this one he's specially asked for, which I expected. It's from an artist called Christine Anu, and she's part Aboriginal and part Torres Strait Islander, right up the top of Australia. And this was sung at the closing of the 2000 Sydney Olympic Games. And he'll remember that I was doing ironing for him at the time and singed one of his tropical shirts. So that didn't go well. He actually laughed at it, which is good. But here's Christine Anu, and she's going to be singing My Island Home.
Yeah. You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And that's our music selection for today. I just wanted to personally pass on to Brenton, you know, no matter what we face through life, we always seem to come out the other side. My friendship remains as strong as it ever was. And I just say, head up, young person, I'm always here for you.
And Declan, you came up with an idea since we were playing some music, and music is very therapeutic. All of us in the studio today are realising just how therapeutic music can be, how it can give us hope, it can lift our spirits. If there's anybody out there that would like to make a request to Take It From Us in the next few weeks, you could get in touch with me on 021 976 564, or you could email us, or even drop something on the Take It From Us Facebook page, and we'll see whether we've got it in Declan's library of music.
I can certainly get it if not, because I've got Spotify Premium, so any song you want, I'll find it.
Oh, that's great. Gary, we're talking to Gary Ray from RI International, and one of the things that interested me, among a whole pile of things that you've said today about recovery and wellness, is the work you do at Te Aho Mai. You dedicate Fridays to go down there and meet with clients or guests at Te Aho Mai, and of course that's the South Auckland Middlemore acute psychiatric unit, which is being replaced, I think, and enlarged.
It is indeed, yes. Back in the day when I first started working in this industry, we were going about twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now we go 5 days a week. It's an incredible place to be. Obviously, connecting to people is so part of wellness. And once people, when I go in there, they kind of mistake me for something else, and it's often
One of the doctors.
Exactly. Unfortunately, you're wearing this lanyard and quite a pink shirt, and but I let them know that no. They asked, "What are you here for?" I said, "Oh, well, I'm here to sit with you." They said, "What do you mean?" Well, I've been in a place like this myself. And they go, "Hey, have you?" I said, "Yeah. I'm just a normal person." And once they hear that you've been there, you've had that experience, they just totally connect to you. It's amazing. And of course, we allow them to understand the services that are out there, where to go, and it's about choices.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful service. Are you aware of others that do that in other acute psychiatric units where charitable organisations send their staff?
I am, yeah, absolutely. So we've had a recent staff member that left and Blessed Pathways. They keep poaching our team members. And this person went to work at Te Aho Mai, or Tupuaki, sorry, which is an NGO, another non-government organisation. And he's now doing one-on-ones, connecting to their guests. And that's huge. Once they work in this industry, they find out what's out there. And, of course, go and follow their dreams.
Well, I understand Tipuaki is a peer-run respite service. I was helping somebody who had spent 2 or 3 days there, who came to one of the Framework Wellness Recovery Action Plan classes. And, so the staff there are all people with lived experience of either mental health or addictions.
Right up to the manager.
Yeah, oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Well, thank you, Gary. This has been Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, for another week. We look forward to being back on Planet FM 104.6 next Tuesday at 12:30. And don't forget our own website, www.takeitfromus.co.nz, where we upload edited broadcasts of what we are saying on Take It From Us.
Well, we've still got a few more moments if you want to chat about anything.
You and I and Gary.
Yeah, floor.
Well, we're going to play our theme music, I think, and we'll also be bringing you updates on what the new Labor-led government is saying about mental health and their desire to have a commission of inquiry. So let's go out with Joe Cocker.
Actually, you'll have something just before that, but I'll have it for you in a second.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.